This is the first time that Saudi Arabia has hosted the Board of Governors at the invitation of the king, which would never have taken place, certainly not 2 years ago, maybe not even a year ago. It's a sign of the change. And certainly, so there'd never, ever been an interfaith delegation hosted by the king in the royal palace, and certainly never in attendance a rabbi, not an Orthodox rabbi, and not an Israeli Orthodox rabbi.
Did they announce that you were a rabbi, or did they just left it blank?
No, in fact, more than that. It was in the media, and there was a big picture there, and I was mentioned that I was a rabbi, but it didn't mention my nationality.
What did the delegation do while you were there?
So we were there for 2.5 days. The one day was a regular governor's meeting, which our purpose is to determine the policy of the center, to get reports and to make certain decisions, and that was a full day. The evening, we were... We met with scores of young Saudi men and women together who are graduates of a program to promote interfaith dialogue and intercultural understanding. Very impressive young men and women professionals. The women all, of course, had head coverings. Some had the actual niqab, and you could only see their eyes. But all with perfect English, very articulate, very interested in promoting a multicultural society and an interfaith understanding. For me, actually, that was as much a highlight as the meeting with the king the next day. Obviously, the meeting with the king the next day, well, you've got to wait around, you've got to get there to the palace, and then you've got to wait around, and then you've got to go through three guards. There's a guards lining up with their traditional Arab dress and daggers, and there's another guard with swords, and then there's another guard with larger swords, and you're getting coffee and dates all the time. I've never eaten so many dates in my life, and then we'd be taken in. Eventually, we come into the actual the royal apartments, and we sit down. The king was already there, and a foreign minister, and we sit down with him, and we have our chairman of our board is Metropolitan Emmanuel of the Orthodox Church, and he said some words. The king said some words. He responded. The king continued. The king's message was, above all, that religions have to work together to combat extremism and radicalism, and if religions don't, that there won't be peace in the world if religions don't collaborate and learn to respect one another. And he basically thanked us for our work and our involvement. And the conversation was along those lines. It was, in that sense, you could say it was a Woody Allen event. It wasn't what was said as much as the fact that we all turned up.
Exactly. But I mean, it's quite an unprecedented event. What prompted the king of Saudi Arabia to take this move?
As I said, it's actually a series. It's another line along the journey. King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz, the previous king, was the one who took the initial initiative, recognizing that we live in a world where there's such a thing as soft power, not only hard power, and that interfaith relations is one of the most important ways to do that, both in order to the way you present your image to the world, and in a way you're able to actually enlist and collaborate with different parts of the world. And I think also a sense of feeling, interfaith is now, if you like, the hot thing in the 21st century. It's growing exponentially, and the desire for Saudi Arabia, that sees itself as a leader of the Muslim world, to have a leading role in this field. It took place also with other opening, in which women's education and sending off students to get university degrees abroad was all part of this opening. Now King Salman and King Mohammed bin Salman have taken that into another up into another realm, another a higher notch. They've eliminated the modest. They've eliminated the modesty patrols. There's much more freedom. Mm-hmm. Even things that seem trivial to us are significant for young Saudis, like that women can drive. There's even coeducational education. And as interfaith is part of this particular process, there is the recognition that they need to go further and show not only interest in collaborating with people of other faiths outside Saudi Arabia, but inside Saudi Arabia, especially as this is part of their desire to educate their own population to be more open and engaged.
As a Jew in Saudi Arabia, did you find any sort of hesitancy by people you met with to talk to you, or was it curiosity?
So I have to be honest and reflect that I was not there as a typical Jew. I was there as a guest of the king and of the kingdom. And therefore, I was being part of a little group that was being given the ultimate VIP treatment. And all the people I would have come in contact with were people who, by definition, were supportive of the king in this particular regard. But I would sit, for example, we would have a meeting just before we would go out, sitting in the lounge of the hotel where we were. People would come up to us. in traditional Arab dress to tell us how welcome they want us to feel here, how exciting it was to see people of other faiths, how important it is for Saudi Arabia, how important it is for the world. All the people we encountered were extremely excited to have us there.